Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Nun Gimel 53. We're going to pick up on daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, at the Mishnah. Okay, so we've been analyzing the different forms of how Beis Din would administer a death penalty. So we've been talking about, we spoke about skila, stoning, about the sreifa, the burning. We've spoken about the sayef or herig, the sword. And now we're going to analyze how Beis Din used to perform the misa of strangulation. So the Mishnah says, "Mitzvahs hanachnakim, how did it work? How did they do chanek? Hayu mashakin also bezevel arak vosov." So same thing as we had previously, that they would put him into some kind of manure or some material up to his knees, so that he wouldn't be moving around when this would happen. Vinosein sudar kasha letoch haracha v'karech atzavaro. So similar to what we had, we spoke about this as one version in the Mishnah yesterday about the how they would open the mouth of the person for strafa. So what would they do? They would put a hard cloth inside a soft one. We spoke about this yesterday, that the hard one is necessary in that case was to open the mouth. In this case, it would be to perform the skila. But the soft one makes it a nicer form, so that it does not cause damage to the neck of the person. So you take the hard sudur and you put it inside the soft one and you put it around the neck. Zem Moshe Chetzlo, Zem Moshe Chetzlo. So each of the edim pull in the opposite directions. Shenafsho yotzeis, until his soul goes out. Basically, he chokes. So that is the misa of chenek, of strangulation. Tana Rabbanan. So the pasuk is going to analyze, the Gemara is going to analyze the pasuk in Vayikra, which says as follows: V'ish asher yinaf es eshes reyehu. So this is the classic source for adultery. A man that commits adultery with the wife of another man. Asher yinaf es eshes reyehu, that just performed adultery with the wife of your friend. Most yumas hanoef hanoefes, that both the man and the woman involved in this act of adultery, most yumas, they get killed. So we're going to analyze this pasuk word by word. Tanur Rabbanan, ish, when it says ish asher yinaf, is prat lekatan. It's talking about a man, not a katan. So a katan who would perform an act with a married woman would not be a case of eshes ish min haTorah. Asher yinafesh eshes ish. So the pasuk said that he performed adultery with the wife of a man, ish, a man. Prat leishes katan. This means to tell you not the wife of a katan, which Rashi explains to mean that this this demonstrates that there is no kedushin by a katan. So if a katan performs an act or attempts to perform an act of kedushin with another woman, they're still not married, and if someone were to have a relationship with that woman, that's not considered an eshes ish. The pasuk says eshes reyehu, it says asher yinaf es eshes reyehu prat leishes acherim. So this comes to exclude that if someone has a relationship with someone who is married to someone who's not reyehu, which would be a guy. So if a Jewish woman married a guyish, a Gentile man, and then subsequently someone had relationship with that woman, that she is not considered an eshes ish, because she's not eshes reyehu, because she's married to a non-Jew. Okay, most yumas, the pasuk toward the end says most yumas hanoef hanoefes. The Gemara says bechenek. So this means that you give her the misa of strangulation. Now the Gemara says atomer bechenek o ena elo ba'achad min kol misas hamurs v'torah. He says you're saying it's chenek, but how do you know? Maybe it's one of the other misas. Maybe it's skila, srefa, herig. How do you know? So we say amre kol makom shenemer misa b'torah stam. So Rav Yoshia says, anytime it says in the Torah that you just kill someone, you cannot give that person you have to give them the lightest misa, because if the Torah doesn't designate a harsher misa, doesn't say, for example, skila or sreifa, So then, all you can apply when the Torah just says to kill her, you have to kill him or her, you have to kill him or her with the misa that is the lightest. And so what is the lightest misa? We know that, at least according to Rabbanon, we'll get into that. Skila Sreifa Herek V'Chenek. Chenek, strangulation, is the least chamor case of misa. And that's why Rabbi Yoshi says, that's how you know that that's what the Noef and the Noefes, the adulterers, get. Rabbi Yonasan says, Lo mipnei sheikala, that the reason that we give chenek is not because chenek is the most kal. We'll see why he says that in a minute. Ella, rather, what's the reason that chenek applies in the case of adultery? Kol misa hamura b'torah stam, eina ella chenek. Because any time, and we encountered this rule before, any time that the Torah does not specify specifically what the misa is, then it's the misa of strangulation. How do we know that? So Rabbi Omer, how does Rabbi Yonasan know it? Rabbi explains Rabbi Yonasan that nemar misa bidei shemayim and nemar misa bidei adam, that the concept of the word misa applies when the Ribbono Shel Olam brings about the death of someone, and it also applies the word misa when it is applied by Bezdin. Ma misa amur bidei shemayim misa shem bo roshem. So just like when there's misa bidei shemayim, an ordinary person, a person gets, you know, just dies, so there's no physical impact or there's nothing that you see physically on the body. So af misa amur bidei adam misa shem bo roshem. So therefore, too, when it says misa by a person and it doesn't specify otherwise, it means the misa that has no roshim. What would that be? That would be strangulation. Now the Gemara asks, well, the ema sreifa, because we just spent time yesterday talking about the fact that sreifa is the lead gets poured in the mouth so that there should be only death from the inside and no recognizable impact on the outside. So maybe you should say that that should be the punishment anytime the Torah doesn't specify. So the Gemara says it can't be sreifa. Why? Because midam rachmana bas koin besreifa mechlal dehala basreifa hi. Because remember, what are we trying to figure out here? We're trying to figure out the misa of a noef and noefes, adulterers, right? And we say it's chenek. Now we say, well, maybe it should be sreifa because that's another case where the death is not recognizable. The problem is we know that the Torah took out a bas koin from the ordinary category of someone who is an adulterer and said a bas koin gets something worse. What do they get? They get sreifa. So therefore, a regular adulterer must be that they don't get sreifa, and therefore they get chenek. So what we're learning out basically is that in order, according to the way Rebbe explains to Yonasan, anytime the Torah doesn't specify the misa, it's chenek. Why? Because we have misa bidei shemayim and misa bidei adam, and it has to be a misa that is not recognizable on the body. So that leaves us two choices, sreifa or chenek. We say it can't be sreifa because we know that a regular adulterer, which is the pasuk we're dashening, it has a different or lesser punishment than a bas koin. A bas koin gets sreifa, so therefore it must be that the simplest punishment and the one that a noif and noefes get would be chenek, would be strangulation. Okay, top of nun gimel. Bishlam ala Rabbi Yonasan kidukam afarish Rabbi Taima. So he says, okay, so Rabbi Yonasan, we know that Rabbi explained the reason, because you learn misa bidei shemayim, misa bidei adam. Elo Rabbi Yoshia, but according to Rabbi Yoshia, mimai de'ika chenek ba'olam. So he says, and so Rabbi Yoshia basically said, we need to give the lightest misa, right? So the question is, how do you even know that there is a misa of chenek? Why? Because the Torah specifies skila, sreifa, and herek. All of those are referenced. But it never references chenek, it never references strangulation. So if your only basis of saying what should we do when the Torah doesn't otherwise specify the punishment, so if the Torah only specifies stoning, burning, and sword, so ema sayif, I would tell you that should be sayif. In other words, why does he say, if all we're saying is it's the lightest punishment, then it should be sword, because we don't know about chenek. Rabba says, Abra Misa's Gemara Gemiri Lahu. The fact that there are four misas, skila, sreifa, herek, v'chenek, is a halacha l'moshe misinai. And then, once we're left with, the fact that there's all four, and Rashi explains that once there's all four, and we know that there's chenek, and we know that the Torah didn't specify chenek for anyone, so it must be, it can't be that chenek is chamor, because otherwise if it was chamor, the Torah would have to specify. So from the fact that the Torah never specifies chenek, but yet we know it exists from a halacha l'moshe misinai, it must mean that chenek is the lightest of the punishments, and therefore, anytime the Torah doesn't specify, according to Rabbi Yoshia, you cannot give a harsher penalty, so you have to give the lightest penalty, hence the rule that any time the Torah doesn't specify that we give the punishment of strangulation. Now, Rabbi Yonasan said to Rabbi Yoshi, lo mipnei sheikala, so he said, not because, and Rabbi Yoshi said, you give the lightest, the most lenient misa, and therefore, what is that? That's chenek. So Rabbi Yonasan came back and said, no, that's not the reason. Why did he say that? So if we remember, Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah held that chenek was more chamor than hereg, than the sword. So therefore, he cannot agree with Rev Yoshia about the reason we always give chenek is because it's the least chamor. Because according to Rav Shimon, and that's how Rav Yonasan holds as well, it's not the least chamor. The least chamor would be Sayef. So there must be a different reason. Hence, we rely on the comparison between Misa B'dei Shemayim and Misa B'dei Adam. Okay. Amar Le Rav Zeira Le Abaya. Shara Niskalin. Deloich Sib B'hu Skila. De Gemiri Me'ov Me'edoni. B'mai Gamri. B'mos Yumsu Gamri. Ab'demayim Bam Gamri. Okay. So long reading there, but this is actually going to become relevant in the next Mishnah. But we're getting a little bit of a preview here. So he says as follows, that the people who receive skila fall into two categories. Those where it says skila expressly, and those where it does not expressly say skila, but it's learned out. In most cases, it's learned out from Ov V'Yadoni. Ov V'Yadoni were forms of, what do they call it, necromancy or something like that? Like people who speak with the dead, commune with the dead. Right? So, and that's Aser. And by Ov V'Yadoni, it is written specifically that they get Skila, right? And so what happens is as follows. In Ov V'Yadoni, it's written Mos Yumas, and it's written Demeyam Bum. Now we have certain cases that Skila is written expressly, but where it's not written expressly, those categories also have the words Mos Yumas and Demeyam Bum. So we're saying that in any case that skila is not written specifically, we're learning it from Ov V'Yadoni. And what Rav Zeira is asking Abaya is, well, in other words, all of those cases have Mos Yumas and Demeyam Bum. Which one is the Gzeir Shava that tells you that they have the punishment of skila? So the Gemara says, Amar Lei, he said back to him, B'demeyam, Demeyam Bum, Gamri. They learn it from the fact that in one case it has Demeyam, Demeyam Bum, and the other, that's how we learn it out. The E B'mos Yumsu Gamri Demeyam Demeyam Lamali. He says, because it must be we're learning it out from Demeyam Bum, because if you're learning it out from Mos Yumas, what would you otherwise do with Demeyam Bum? So the Gemara says, Elamai, but Demeyam Gamri, you're gonna say we learn it from Demeyam Bum, but then Mos Yumasu Lamali, well then what, then fine. So in other words, you're saying the reason you have to do it Mos Yumas, the reason you have to do it in Demeyam Bum is because otherwise, what would you do with Demeyam Bum? The Gemara says, well, if you're learning from Demeyam Bum, what do you do with Mos Yumas? So how do you know that that proves it? So we say, because no, Mos Yumas we have a use for. Kedisanya, like we learned in the Braisa, Mos Yumas hamake rotzeachu. The Pasuk says that the person, it's talking about Ove Eva, Hiko, Biyado, Biyamas, Mos Yumas hamake rotzeachu. It's talking about when someone hits someone with intention, he gets killed, he's a rotzeach. So it says most yumas, it's a double language, and the Braisa Darshan's ainly eleven misak subabo. Minayan shemiyata yachal amiso b'misak subabo shatam amiso b'chol misa shata yachal amiso. He says, I only know that you can give someone the punishment that is specified for that. But what happens if we cannot give that punishment and we want to give a different punishment? Rashi elsewhere brings the case. Let's say a guy is escaping on a ship. And so you can't give him, let's say he's chayav sreifa, you can't give him sreifa, but you have your gun and you shoot at him on the ship or your arrow or whatever it is, and you're gonna get him on the ship. So you're not giving him the proper misa, but since it says most you must, so if we can give him the misa that we're supposed to give him, then yes. If not, you must, you're gonna give him the misa that is not the one specified. So you see that the word most you must has a limud to be learned, and therefore it must be that the extra word that we learn out that the misa is with skila in cases where it's not specified, it must be from the words the mayhem bum. Okay, so the Gemara says, I'm sorry, tamalom mos yumas hamakam mikomakam. Okay, so amar le Rav Achami difti l'Ravina, v'i b'mos yumasu gamri maika kashile. So he's saying as follows. And it's not entirely clear to me, and it seems in some of the Mefarshim not entirely clear either, exactly what the Gemara means here, but it seems to be saying as follows, that when Reb Zeira asked the question, which one did you learn it from, he seemed to have a problem that there was some kind of problem. He wasn't just asking which way is it. So it seemed, and then he was, in other words, he was pleased with the outcome when you said you learned it from the Mayambam. So it's clear somehow that Reb Zeira had a problem with learning it out from Mosu Masu. So the Gemara is going to ask, what was Reb Zeira's problem from learning it out from Mosu Masu that was solved by learning it out from the Mayambam? Okay, so the Gemara is going to put forth a couple of choices and eventually come to a third answer, which is going to be the reason that Reb Zeira was concerned about learning it from Mosu Masu. Ilema, if you're going to say, Eishas Ish Kakashale, that Reb Zeira had a problem with learning out from Ovi Adoni to other cases of Misa to say it's Skila, if it's learned from Mosu Masu, he has a problem with the Psukim by Eishas Ish. Why? Because Lemesi V'lemigmar Mosu Masu Me Ovi Adoni, Malahal B'Skila, Afkan B'Skila. So he says as follows, because if you're learning it out from Mosu Masu, so then the Pasuk that's written by Noah and Noephis, the one we just dealt with, adultery, the Pasuk does not say a Misa, and we said that therefore it means Chenek, it means strangulation. But why do you say it doesn't say a Misa? It has the words Mosu Masu, and if we know that Mosu Masu you can learn from Ovi Adoni, that it's Chayev Skila, so then don't say it doesn't say, it does say. It says Mosu Masu, which means Skila, based on the Gzer Shava. So the Gemara, and maybe that would be Reb Zeira's problem if you learn out from Ovi Adoni, from Mosu Masu, then you should say that adultery should be Skila, not Chenek. So the Gemara says, no, because I would know not to learn it out from there. Mida Amar Rachmana Arusa B'Skila Mechlav D'Nesua Lav B'Skila. So similar logic to what we said before about Sreifa, he's saying as follows, that once I know that the Torah took the punishment of Arusa and made that a more serious punishment and gave it skila, so it took it out of the punishment of chenek, right? So now if you're telling me every case of adultery is chenek because I would learn it from Mosu Masu, from Ovi Adoni, I'm sorry, if you tell me that every case of adultery is skila because I learned it from Mosu Masu, then what's the special punishment you're giving to an arusa over a nesua? So we would know that Eishes Ish can't be skila, so that couldn't be what's bothering Reb Zeira. So we say, okay, ve'ela maka ave ve'ima kakashule. No, rather, Reb Zeira is bothered. If you learn it out from Mosu Masu, he has a problem with our halacha, a halacha of someone who hits his father or mother. Because l'meisi l'migmar me ovi adoni, so he says as follows, he says, why not learn that someone who hits his father or mother, where it's written Mosu Masu, that they would in fact get skila, and yet we say that it gets hereg. So the Gemara says, "Ad the garmi me ovi adoni ligmaru me eishes ish." Adi atar shayla moshka lahachmer lahakol ala. He says, "No, even he says that's not a problem because if you're telling me that the problem with learning it out from Mosu Masu is the fact that the words Mosu Masu are written by someone who hits his father or mother, and so instead of saying it's strangulation, instead you should say it's stoning." He says, "I wouldn't do that. Why? Because when I have the pasuk written by hitting a father and mother, I have the words Mosu Masu written, so I can either compare that to Ovi Adoni and say it's skila, or I could compare it to Eishes Ish, which we just established is strangulation. So if I'm given that choice, strangulation or skila, I'm always going to choose strangulation because that's the easier punishment. So therefore, it is not a problem to learn from Mosu Masu because I would know not to change the halacha of maka avivimo from chenek to skila because you're given a choice, and given a choice, you'll always choose the more kal one. So the Gemara says, Amrlei, sharnis haniskalin gufayu kokashale. So he's saying, no, that's exactly the problem. Because he says, if you're learning from the words Mosu Masu, then in every case, let's take any of the cases we learn out from Ovi Adoni, you should say the words say Mosu Masu. So you say, well, okay, fine. So it's written Mosu Masu by Eishes Ish, and it's written Mosu Masu by Ovi Adoni. By Eishes Ish, we know it's strangulation. By Ovi Adoni, we know it's stoning. And you always pick the lighter punishment. So that's the problem, is that in every case, you're faced with this choice, do you learn from Eishes Ish or Ovi Adoni? And really, you should learn from Eishes Ish. So that was Reb Zeira's problem. So how is it solved if you learn from Demayambam? Because the words Demayambam are not written by the case of Eishes Ish. We just dealt that pasuk before. It didn't have Demayambam. So therefore, if your limud from Ovi Adoni is from the words Demayambam, So then you learn out to all those cases, which we're going to learn in Mirtz Hashem, about how you learn from the man bum. So then it's fine. But if you are learning it out from most yumas, then you have a problem, because you know that Eishes Ish is only strangulation, and Oviyadoni is skila. You would learn out from Eishes Ish instead of learning from Oviyadoni. So that was Reb Zeira's problem, and therefore he was happy with the answer that the source for learning from Oviyadoni is the Mayim Bum, in which case, that's a straight comparison and there's no confusion with Eishes Ish. Okay, Mishnah Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. Elu Hinan Eskalin. So we've now outlined how you do all of the forms of Misa, and we're now going to break it down who gets what forms of Misa. So we're going to deal with people who get skila. The Mishnah has 18 cases. Habala Ein, someone has a relationship with his mother. V'al Eishes Ha'av, or the wife of his father, who's not his mother. We'll get into that in a minute. V'al Akala, someone who has an illicit relationship with his daughter-in-law. V'al Azachar, someone who commits an act of homosexuality. V'al Behema, someone who commits an act of bestiality. V'al Isha Mevias HaBehema, that if a woman commits an act of bestiality. V'al Megadev, someone who blasphemes Hashem or curses Hashem. Va'oved avodas gochavim, someone who does avodah zarah. Va'nosam izara lemolech, someone who puts his children. Molech was a form of service where they would take their children and put it through over a fire. Rashi points out that this mission is obviously going according to the view that molech is not a form of avodah zarah. It was just a darkei amori. It was a pagan practice of some sort. Because otherwise, if in Molech was in fact Avodah Zarah, it would have been covered by the category we just said, Avodah Kochavim. Okay, so technical detail. Ubal Ovi Yadoni, someone who, as we referenced before, seeks to communicate with the dead. Vamachal HaShabbos, someone who is Machal Shabbos, is Chayv Skila. Vamachal of the Imo, someone who curses his father and mother. Rashi points out, and this has many implications, but we won't get into it. Rashi points out, it's interesting that someone who curses his mother and father is a harsher punishment of skila than someone who hits his mother and father, because someone who hits his mother and father only gets strangulation. So Rashi points out, because, and even though you would think that maybe hitting is worse, the fact is that when someone hits their parents, so they've done an avera with their parents. When they curse their parents, not only have they done an avera to their parents, but they've also used Hashem's name in vain, and so it's a double avera, and therefore it has the harsher misa of skila of stoning. V'habal anara murasa, as we've talked about before, that someone, if you have a nara between 12 and 12 and a half, who has had erisin, then that is with skila. Vamesis, someone who gets another person to perform avodah zarah. Vamediach, someone who, we've talked about this before, the mediach is the one who got people in an Iyar Nidachas. He got most or all of the city to serve avodah zarah. Those are separate categories, we'll see why. Vamechashev, someone who is who does sorcery or magic. Ben Sora Mora, we're now in the seventh parak of Sanhedrin. Next parak deals with this extensively. Is someone who has shown that he's going down a bad way, and therefore he gets killed even before he does some of those things. Okay, so now we've completed all of those categories that get skila. So we're going to start to analyze them, and this first thing that we're going to analyze is what is going to occupy us for the rest of today's daf. Habo Alaim, someone who has a relationship with his mother. Chayev Aleh Mishum Aim Umishum Eishes Av. Is Chayev for having a relationship with his mother and for having a relationship with the wife of his father. Because his mother is the wife of his father, or it could be the wife of his father, so if it is. Rashi points out that what's the difference, in other words, once he's having a relationship with his mother, what's the difference, one or two? So the question would be, if he does it on purpose, you know, okay, he gets killed either way. But if he did it by accident, as Rashi points out, that since it is something that if it's done on purpose and a person could not get killed, they would get kares. And we know if someone has a punishment that they do by accident that would otherwise have kares, then they have to bring a chatas. And as Rashi points out, we see in the Gemara in Makos that you can be chai of multiple averas. So therefore, the significance would be that if someone by accident had relations with his mother, thinking it was someone else, perhaps, that in that case, he would have to bring two chatos. He would have to bring two carbon chatos. But if it was on purpose, he just gets killed because they're both skila. Okay, so the Tanakama of our Mishnah holds that if someone comes, has a relationship with his mother, he's over on two different prohibitions. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein chayav ala mishum ha'ein balvad. No, in that case, if someone has a relationship with his mother, who was not out of wedlock, meaning was also the lawfully wedded wife of his father, he is chayev only one. Which one is he chayev for? He's chayev for the relationship with his mother. He does not, he's not chayev for the relationship with the wife of his father. Okay? Habal eshes av. Now the mission continues. Someone who comes on the wife of his father, which would mean, which would mean someone that is, as Rashi points out, either married his father, after this child was born, or else someone who's who was born out of wedlock, and so therefore. So this is talking about a case. Eshesav, someone who was not his mother, but just his father. So the Gemara says, Chayev mishum Eshesav, umishum Eshesish. So now we're talking about a case where the father is still married to this woman, and so therefore, he's Chayev on Eshesav, and he's Chayev on Eshesish. So two lavim. Bein b'chayev, bein l'achar misa. Now, this is whether the father's alive or dead. Now, as Rashi points out, that's true only for the Isser of Eshesav, but not for the Isser of Eshes Ish, because if a woman is married to a man, and then the man dies, she's no longer an Eshes Ish. But the Eshes Av, the fact that this woman was married to his father, is significant even after his father dies and he cannot have a relationship with her. Ben mena erisin or ben mena nesuin. Whether his father had erisin with her or whether his father had nesuin with her. Haba'a kalasso, someone who has a illicit relationship with his daughter-in-law. Chayev aleh mishum kalasso mishum Eshes Ish. So if his son is still married to this woman, and he has a relationship with her, so then he's done two lavim. First of all, it's his daughter-in-law. Second of all, she's a married woman. Bein b'chayi b'no, bein l'achar, misas b'no. This is true whether his son is still alive or not. And again, Rashi points out, not on the Eshes Ish part, but just on the daughter-in-law part, that he's chayev, even if his son has died and he has relations with his former daughter-in-law, that is still actionable. Ben min erisin and ben min nesuin, again, whether his son was married to this woman, to his daughter-in-law, only through erisin or also through nesuin. Okay, so says the Gemara. Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Now let's just review what the Mishnah said, because the brisa is going to say something different. We had a machlokas as follows. If someone had relations with his mother, so we say that he is chayev for relations with his mother and for chayev for relations with his father's wife. Now Tosfos points out, by the way, that you could also add Eshes Ish if you assume the father's married, but I think that would just confuse us. So the Mishnah left it assumes, Tosfos says, assume that the father subsequently died. So you're now dealing that he had a relationship with his mother after the father died, and the Mishnah said, the Tanakhama said he's over. He violates both the prohibition on relations with his mother and the prohibition on relations with the wife of his father. Okay? So, and Rabbi Yehuda said to that, no, he's only violates the prohibition on relations with his mother, but not on the prohibition on relations with his father's wife. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Amar, so in the Brice it says something different. It says that Rabbi Yehuda says, Im lo yhoisa imo ru'uya la'aviv, eino chayev elo mishum ha'ein bovad. So in our Mishnah we said, no matter what, if someone has relations with his mother, if someone has relations with the mother, he's only over on that relationship, not with the wife of his father. The Braisa here seems to be saying that when is he only over, is he only violate the restriction on his mother but not on his father's wife, is if his father was married to this woman inappropriately. In that case, he's not chayev for his father's wife, only for his mother. So the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this Braisa for a minute. My Enarulio, what does that mean that he was not supposed to marry her? If you're saying that he was married to a woman that he's totally not allowed to marry, for example, let's say his sister, right? So mechlal, that's what's the problem with that mechlal the rabbanon. So if that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that if someone's married to his sister and has this child, that the child is only over for the relationship with the mother, but not for the wife of the father, mechlal the rabbanon savri afagav the inaruyelo. That you're saying that, so then the Rabbanan who argue with Rabbi Yehuda and say that he's chayev for both, would you possibly suggest that if someone's father married a woman he wasn't allowed to marry, that she should be over on his father's wife? That doesn't make sense, because halas le kedushin begavah. But that doesn't make sense, because you cannot hold the person accountable for having a relationship with his father's wife if the woman was not his wife. Because if Kiddushin doesn't work, if Kiddushin is not Tofes, you can't call it his wife. So the Gemara says, so can't be talking about Chayve Mises Bezin or Chayve Krisus, but rather Ela Chayve Lavin. It must be talking about if his father was married to this woman in a way that was over on a lav. For example, Rashi says that his father married a mamzer or a nesin, or his father was a kohen who married someone he shouldn't have married. Those are chayve lavin. Rabbi Yehuda savalak Rabbi Akiva damar en kiddushin tovsin bechayve lavin. And Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Akiva, who says that kiddushin are not tofes bechayve lavin. And so therefore, that's the reason that Rabbi Yehuda is saying. That Rabbi Yehuda is saying that according to this view, that he's only, the reason he's only chayav for his mother but not for his wife of his father is because Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Akiva that in fact that chayve lavin, let's say someone marrying a mamzer, is just like someone marrying his sister. Kiddushin is not tofes. If a kiddushin is not tofes, you can't say that this woman is his father's wife. If the woman is not the father's wife, then he can't be held liable for having a relationship with his father's wife, and therefore it's only he's only over on the prohibition of being married to his mother, of having a relationship with his mother, but not with his father's wife. Okay, so that is the Braisa, the understanding of Rabbi Yehuda and the Braisa. So what's the difference between the Braisa and the Mishnah? The Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, a person who has a relationship with his mother, who's a lawfully wedded wife of, who whether lawfully wedded or non, or chayve lavim wedded, is only chayev for, relationship with his mother, but not for wife of his father. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda of the Braisa says that when is he only over on his mother is if his mother and father weren't lawfully wedded, which is the reason that he can't be over on having a relationship with his father's wife. Okay, so that's the difference between the Braisa and the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to get into a side topic of trying to figure out, is it true that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Akiva? Because to understand this Braisa, we said that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Akiva, and now we're going to say maybe that's not true. So Masav Rav Yoshi or Masav Rav Shaya, Rav Shaya asks as follows: Isser mitzvah, isser kedusha, choltos v'lom es yabmas. Okay, so let's take a minute to explain this. Remember from our Yevamos days. So we know that if a man dies and he doesn't have children, his brother marries his wife, and if he, which would be Yivam, and if not, he does Chalitza. Now, let's say someone is married to someone that the Yevama cannot fault him. So, for example, let's say there's two brothers, one of whom marries the daughter of his brother, so marries his niece, which actually is something the Torah encourages. It's not a problem. So they marries the niece, right? And so that's a perfectly valid marriage. But what happens? The brother who is married to the niece now dies, and so his brother is supposed to do Yibam. But who's the wife of his brother? Is his own daughter. So he's not allowed to be married to his daughter. So therefore he can't do Yibam. And because he can't do Yibam and there's no question of Yibam, he's not even relevant to Chalitza, nothing doing. So that if an Erva falls to a Yavam, then that's not Yibam, no Chalitza. However, there is a case where someone, a Yavama can fall to someone who it's not a Chayve Krisus, it's not a case where it's not a case like that, but rather it's a case where there's only an Isser, it's only an Isser Drabanan for them to get married. So in which case, Minat Torah, you could do Yibum, but Midrabanan, they're not allowed to get married. So therefore, we don't want them to Yibum because they're not allowed to get married Midrabanan. But we can't say that she could go free to the world because Minat Torah, they should have done Yibum or Chalitza. So therefore, we force there to be Chalitza. So we're saying there's two cases, Isser Mitzvah and Isser Kedusha, which are Du Chalitza, not Yibum, because it's only the Rabbanan. We'll explain what those are in a minute. Amun Beis. Isser Mitzvah, Shnios Midivrei Sofrim. So what does it mean when it says Isser Mitzvah? It's talking about the Shnios, which the Chachamim put in, which were basically people who are similar to the Torah's Ervas. So what is a good example, the classic case of a Shnia, would be for someone to marry his grandmother. It doesn't say in the Torah you can't do that, but Chazal said you shouldn't marry your grandmother, so that's a Shnia, that is a secondary Erva, which is only the Rabbanan. So therefore, if someone's brother and they do not share a mother. Someone's brother married his brother's maternal grandmother, and then the maternal grandmother fell to the person as a yavama. So the problem is minatora, they're allowed to get married. So you should have to do yibum or chalitza, but midrabanan, they're not allowed to get married. So therefore, we say you do chalitza and you don't do yibum. Okay, so that's the Tana says this, as Rashi points out. The Gemara interjects and says, "Amai kari luhu iser mitzvah." Why do you call it iser mitzvah? Shemitzvah l'shmo devar chachamim, because this is something that chachamim put into place. It's a mitzvah to listen to chachamim, so that's why we call it iser mitzvah. It's an iser that comes through the mitzvah of listening to chazal. Okay, so that's one case where we do chalitza and not yibum. Iser kedusha. What about iser kedusha? Is a case of amana l'koin gadol, grusha v'chalutza l'koin hedyot, that if you have someone is married to a woman and he dies and the wife falls to the koin gadol, she's by definition an almana. A koin gadol is not allowed to marry an almana. Minat Torah. So therefore we say that is an iser lav. Now you might ask, I said before that both cases we're talking about a drabanan. The iser of an almana to koin gadol is a deraisa. So why did I say that? As Rashi points out, because In reality, though, you would say that you should do yibum. You could do yibum anyway. Why? Because esei dochalos. Say a positive commandment negates a negative commandment. So there's a negative commandment that a kohen gadol should not marry an almana, but there's a positive commandment that he should do yibum. So min haTorah, you would say esei dochalos. Say, but why did Chazal not want them to do it? Because as we've encountered actually earlier in this mesechta in a different context, but the idea is that when you have an essay dochalosa say is only would forgive the first act of bia, so that when they do bia, he does the mitzvah of yibum. At that point, he no longer has a mitzvah to be married to this woman, and yet he's the kohen gadol, he'd be married to an amana. So Chazal said, we'd rather he not do yibum because we're afraid that if they do bia rishona, they'll do bia shnia. So therefore, it ends up only, even though the iser amana l'kohen gadol is a deraisa, it's only because Rabbanan didn't want to apply esei dochalosa say. So the reason he's not supposed to do yibum is midrabbanan. So in both cases, midrabbanan, and therefore you have to do chalitza. You can't say it's like a regular case of erva because where there's no need for chalitza, because in this case it's only erva midrabbanan. So amana l'kohen gadol grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedya. That's a case of iser kedusha. V'amai kari luhu iser kedusha. Why do they call it iser kedusha? D'chsev kedoshim yil heihem, that the kohanim should be kadosh to their God. So that you call matters of kohuna, getting married, iser kedusha. Okay. V'tanya Allah, we learned on this. Rabbi Yehuda switched it and said no. That when you're dealing with things like shnios, those are iser kedusha. And when you're dealing with things like kohen gadol, amana l'kohen gadol, you're dealing with mitzvah. Why? Because he says that, why do we call it kedusha when it's, the shnias, like for example, that someone shouldn't marry his grandmother, is because Rashi says, kadesh atzma b'mutar lach, that you should make a siyag, you should do something to be careful they don't get messed up. So since grandmother, similar to the other things, we say you shouldn't do it, it's a siyag. Kadesh atzma b'mutar lach. You should sanctify yourself with something that's permitted to you and make it impermissible to you. So that's why it's kedusha. And mitzvah is because, Rashi says, because at the end of Sefer Vayikra, when you finish all the mitzvahs of kohuna, it says Ela HaMitzvahs. So that's why he calls it Iser Mitzvah. So what do we have? We have the Rabbi Yehuda came on a very technical level. He said, okay, we have this brisa that says by these derabbanan dika relationships where she falls to yibum, since midrabbanan, we don't want him to do yibum, they do chalitza. And they called it Iser Mitzvah and Iser Kedusha. And the Tana explained, why do we call it each one? And Rabbi Yehuda said, no, come switch it. Rabbi Yehuda was not arguing on the basic halacha, right? He was just talking about why it is. So he said, Rabbi Yehuda, chalufi Yehuda machlef. So we said, all he's doing is he's switching which case you call Iser Kedusha and which you call Iser Mitzvah. Ha chalitza bai. But at the end of the day, he agrees with the basic halacha that you need chalitza. What's the problem with that? Because we just finished saying that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Akiva, that Kiddushin is not tofes by Chayvei Lavin. That Kiddushin doesn't work when someone is just usher by Lav, but not by Kare. So he says, V'isal kadaitach. And if you're gonna say that Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Akiva, Tzvirle, that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Akiva, that Chayvei Lavin Kiddushin is not tofes, Michti, let's see, Chayvei Lavin, the Rabbi Akiva, Chayvei Krisus dummy. That Chayvei Lavin, according to Rabbi Akiva, are just like Chayvei Krisus, and Kiddushin doesn't take effect. And so, like I said before, the chayve krisos lav bnei chalitza v'yibom ninu, and chayve krisos are not bnei chalitza and yibom. So where a person fell, where he felt that his daughter became his yavama, there's no chalitza, there's no yibom. Why? Because there's an iser krisos and kiddushin is not tofes. But according to Rabbi Akiva, kiddushin is not tofes even by chave lavin. Like for example, amana l'kohen gadol. So why did you tell me Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing with the basic halacha that amana l'kohen gadol should do chalitza? But why should he do chalitza? Because according to Rabbi Akiva, kiddushin is not tofes. So the Gemara says, so that's a question on saying that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, l'dvar d'tana kamar kamar, v'lei lo svirlei. He said no. That all Rabbi Yehuda was doing was coming to say, I think what you called Isser Mitzvah should be called Isser Kedusha. I think what you called Isser Kedusha should be called Isser Mitzvah. But he wasn't coming to opine on the basic halacha. And in fact, he would disagree because he holds like Rabbi Akiva that Chayvei Lavin is not Tofis, Kedusha is not Tofis, and therefore there would be no need to do Chalitza. There's no Yibam and there's no Chalitza because Kedusha is not Tofis. Okay, fine. So we now have, what do we have? We have a Machlokas. We have our Mishnah that says of Yehuda's halacha that he's only chayav for relations with his mother but not his father's wife is in a case where it's an inappropriate marriage. And the Tanakhama says, no, regardless, even if it's his mother who is a lawfully wedded wife of his father, he's only chayav for the relationship with his mother according to Rabbi Yehuda. That's what our Mishnah said. Tani Kedisnan, that when Rabbi Yitzchak came, he learned, he brought his teaching like we learned in the Mishnah, which is what? Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein chayav el mishuma ein bovad, that he's only chayav for relations with his mother, but not for relations with his father's wife. Okay, so we've now resolved, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, that we go with our Mishnah, not with the Braisa. So now the rest of the Gemara is going to try and figure out why, what is the reason that Rabbi Yehuda says that he's only chayav for his mother, but not for his father's wife. The time am I, what's that reason? Amar Abaya, Abaya says, the Amar Krah, the Pasuk says, Imcha hi. Mishum imo atamachayv of iatamachayv of mishum eshes av. Okay, so he says as follows, that the Pasuk, there's two psukim written by a father and his wife, which is as follows. The pasuk in Vayikra, pasuk Zion says, "Ervas avicha, the erva of your father, the ervas imcha, and the erva of your mother, lo segala, you should not uncover. Imcha he, she is your mother." Focus on those words. Lo segala erva sa, do not reveal her erva. So this is the pasuk that's written by someone. This is his mother. The next pasuk says, "Ervas eshes avicha lo segala," that the erva of the wife of your father you should not uncover. Ervas avicha hu, it is the erva of your father. Right? So there, it's talking about someone who was married to the father. It's not discussing whether it's his mother. Okay? So we say, so he says the issue is as follows, that when it says, Ervas avicha ve'ervas imcha lo segala, so it says you should not uncover your mother, imcha he, she is your mother, that is an exclusion to say that when someone has relations with his mother, imcha he is over the iser of his mother, but not the iser of the wife of his father. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the drasha, elameata, ervas eshes avicha lo segala, ervas avicha hu, the next pasuk ches, which I read, says that the erva of the wife of your father you should not uncover, it is the erva of your father. So when it says, it is the erva of your father, mishum eshes avata mechayva v'yata mechayva mishum imo. So that seems to be saying that you are he's only chayev for the wife of his father, but not for the relationship with his mother. So if you're saying imcha he tells you only for the mother, then why not say ervas avicha hu, that tells you only the wife of the father. So in other words, you have conflicting things. Ela imo shehi eshes aviv koyhacho mamayit loy v'koyhacho mamayit lo. So he says, but here's the problem. So you're going to end up with a drasha as follows. That one drasha tells you you're only chayev for your mother, but not for your father's wife. And the other one says, you only chayav for your father's wife, but not for your mother. So we could say, okay, those are each saying one case. One is talking where he was married, and one was talking where he wasn't married. So, right? So in other words, one was wedlock, one was legitimately married. So you're covering both cases. But the problem is, if you have these conflicting limudim, what happens in the case where it is his mother, and it's the wife of his father? So we're going to end up with a case. Hashta imo she'eno eshes aviv. I'm sorry. So he says, Hashta imo she'eno eshes aviv. If it's his mother who's not meaning he was born out of wedlock, and it's not the wife of his father, Mechayev, Ischayev. Eshes Aviv, She'eno Imo, or it's a wife of his father who's not his mother, also Mechayev. But Imo, in the case of his mother, Shehi, Eshes Aviv, that's also married to his father, Lo Mechayev Klal, then he wouldn't be Chayev at all. So that's a bizarre result. So if you have one pasuk that tells you when it's only mother, but not wife of father, and only wife of father but not mother, each of those cases is Chayev, but a case where it's his mother and the wife, you're not Chayev, so that can't be. So it must be that Imcha Hi and Eretz Avicha Hu are not the reason to do it. And there's a second question. Moreover, if you're learning it from Imcha, that kind of drasha, what are the Rabbanon who argue on Rabbi Yehuda? Why wouldn't they use it? Ela Hahumi Baile Chredushisha Breid Rav Idi. So tomorrow, Mirz Hashem, we'll see what the halacha is of Rav Shisha Breid Rav Idi. It talks about whether how you know an onesh for someone who has a relationship with his mother. But in any event, so we're going to say, what would the Rabbanan do with Imcha Hi? They must use it for that limud. Rabbi Yehuda needs it for that limud also. So we have a double question on Abaya's answer about how we know it. So we're going to say, no, it's not that. Ela Amar Ravacha Breid Rav Ika Amar Kra Ervasa Mishum erva achas atam chayvav yitam yatam chayvav mishum shtei ervos. So he says as follows that the pasuk says by his mother, ervas avicha ve'ervas imcha lo segala. You shouldn't uncover the erva of your mother. Imcha hi, she is your mother. Lo segala ervasa. You should not uncover her erva. So what does this tell you? This tells you that when the pasuk comes to tell you that you could be chayv having a relation with your mother, ervasa, her erva singular, tells you that you can only be chayav for one iser, and therefore you're chayav on the iser of mother, but not wife of father, because only one erva is allowed. So the Gemara says, Elameata, if that's true, erva sa in singular tells you you can only be chayav for one erva, I have a problem with our Mishnah, because erva's kalascha lo segala, Eshes bincha hi, lo segala erva sa. The pasuk by daughter-in-law says you should not uncover the erva of your daughter-in-law. She is the wife of your son. You should not cover erva sa, her erva, in the singular. Hachinami mishum erva achas atam chayiv, v'yatam chayiv mishum shteya erva. So according to your limud, you should say that she can only be chayiv for one erva, not two. Right? But what's the problem with that? V'hatanam, we learned in our Mishnah, haba kalaso, someone who comes on his daughter-in-law, chayiv ala mishum kalaso, he's chayav for his daughter-in-law, umishum eshes ish, and for the wife of her, or his son. Bein b'chayiv b'no, bein l'achar mises b'no. So what do you see? You see that a man who comes on his daughter-in-law is chayav two ervas, even though it says ervasa, the singular. So it must be that this limud is not good. V'lo palag Reb Yehuda, you didn't see Reb Yehuda come and argue there and say, no, he's only chayav for his daughter-in-law, but not eshes ish, because it's written ervasa. Ella, how would you explain the word erva sa in the case of daughter-in-law, kigon dechad gufa hu afagav the trei isura ninu ksiv erva sa. The reason it wrote erva sa singular is because we're talking about one person. We might be talking about two isurim, but we say at the end of the day, erva sa, it is her erva, meaning because it's only one person. So hachanami, therefore here too, you can't learn from erva sa, because we're going to say that the reason it's written erva sa is kigon dechad gufa hu afagav the trei isura ninu ksiv erva sa, because you're going to say the reason it's written is because it's written erva sa is just because it's a singular person with two isurim. So I think we're going to stop here because the next teretz is a little more complicated. I tried starting 5 minutes early today. We had our technical difficulties, so I'll send around the WhatsApp. We'll probably start a few minutes early tomorrow because this will take a couple minutes to explain, and then I'll let you know what time we're starting tomorrow.
Yeah, sure.